promise not to call us all losers today. Because though we're no more than servants, we're no less than sons of what the Lord has done for us. I want to look at, just starting in verse 1, Psalm 136, verse 1. We learned this when we went to Israel, to sing it in Hebrew. And it's mentioned a couple of times in the Psalms. But I'm going to use that kind of as a springboard for us to count our blessings, to be thankful. Thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. And I wanted us to just think about and count our blessings. We realize we are rich. We are richer than any generations that lived before us. We didn't have to go out to the well, this morning to draw water and bring it into the house, heat it up so you have a nice hot shower. Jim probably remembers those days. Go to the outhouse. That was not that long ago, actually. The first assembly I went to had an outhouse out in the country. Eventually, we got an indoor plumbing. But just think about that. You go to the fountain, the faucet, you turn on, and water comes out. And hot water comes out. Right in your house. Other generations never had that. They had a lot of work to do. The woman at the well. She was there to draw water. And the well was deep. It was a lot of work to that. And to do the laundry. You didn't go out to the stream and have to beat the clothes and get them. Do you remember that, Jim? Had to beat the clothes to get it clean. And where? We just put it in the washing machine. Push a button and there it is, and throw it in the dryer and it dries it, and there you have it. Other generations, kings had all kinds of slaves to do everything for them, but in many ways we're even more advanced, more blessed than kings. Communication, we drive here. We didn't walk. The Lord walked from Jerusalem to Samaria. He was weary on that journey. We get in the car and push the pedal and drive, and we're there. We want to talk to somebody. It used to be where you'd send letters. It would take months to get a letter to somebody. Now you just get your cell phone, you call them up, or look on FaceTime or whatever. You can see them from over in Europe. Or wherever they are. And we take things for granted. What a blessing that is. Somebody was saying this. He was in the house and got a call on his cell phone. His wife was in the driveway. She said, "I forgot my hat. Can you send it out to me?" And he said, "How lazy is that? His son, go out and take the hat to her, But we use all these things. We have them all. And we're blessed. And we, in this country, we have freedom. We're hearing a lot and how others want to take away that freedom. But we've enjoyed that freedom, most of us, all our lives. In other places, you didn't just pick up and go somewhere. You had to let them know where you're going. You had to get permission. And in communist countries, grocery store, you had to buy what they told you to buy. You have a supermarket and you have all these choices of food right there for the taking. How rich we are, how greatly blessed, to count our blessings. And how sad to see in our country the discontent. We have millionaire athletes who are discontented because there's another athlete who they feel is they're just as good as, and they're making $5 million a year more than they are. So they're disrespected, and they're unhappy because they're being disrespected. Think of that. You look in what's going on in Cuba, and all the people there, what are they doing? Shouting, freedom, USA, the our flag flying. And what do we have in our country? People dissing the flag, saying it's a symbol of oppression. The poorest person in this country is richer than anybody else in the world. Realize that. And the Satan loves for us to be occupied with what we don't have, to not count our blessings. I mean, even in paradise, he can stir up discontent because God said, don't eat that because that will hurt you. Oh, it wasn't for that reason. He wants to take away your happiness. He wants to take away what's good for you. That's the way the enemy works. But to count your blessings. You know, when we've had the power go out a couple of days, what do we do? What do we do now? The biggest thing for us was, where do we get coffee? There's nowhere to get coffee. That's the biggest trial that we have. A couple of days without power. But if we had to go for a month or 2 months, how rich we are. Our health. You have a sickness, you go to a doctor, go to a hospital where they all are there to care for you. And that we are so blessed. You know, we have eyes to see God's great creation. Ears to hear. We have Bibles. We take that for granted. We probably, all of us, have multiple Bibles. Multiple translations of the Bible. And what do? We argue over multiple translations. You know, the enemy just makes us discontented instead of thankful. I had one brother, somebody would, whenever they would ask him, how are you? He'd say, I'm thankful. That's a good spirit, to be thankful and to think of all the blessings that the Lord gives. If you had two parents in your home to raise you, you are blessed. You know, they want to talk about privilege in this country and racial privilege. Let me tell you, if you had a family with two parents, you are privileged. I don't care what color you are far more privileged than somebody who has a lot of money. A lot of people with a lot of money, and they are not happy at all. And their children, I've often thought, it's not true of every one of them, but it's almost a curse to be born to a celebrity. It's not true of all of them. There's occasionally those that stick together and have a strong family tie, but most of them are just out for themselves. And you get two people who are both out for themselves, not willing to sacrifice. I don't care how much money you have. They think by throwing money at the kids, that's all they're good, being good parents. They are not privileged. But if you had two parents, just two parents, that stuck together, even if they weren't believers, even if they were just moral people, and they stuck together for the kids, for whatever reason, be thankful for that. Because you don't know the heartache of a divorce. You know, broken homes, broken hearts of the children. And if you had two parents that love the Lord, you are really blessed. You're up there at the top of the blessing line. Count your blessings. Just think, if you can't sleep at night, boy, just go through and think about all the good things the Lord has done for you. And we had it this morning. Redemption. forgiveness of sins, spiritual blessings, that God has forgiven us. He's not going to hold it against us. He's not going to bring it up and shame us all, even though we deserve it. The Lord took our shame. How blessed we are to be forgiven, to be God's sons and heirs. We're not under the law as we've had. We can't earn our salvation. God freely gives us to us as a gift. So it well becomes us to be thankful. In fact, this morning meeting in some circles, it's called the Eucharist, because that comes from the word for thanksgiving in the Bible. It's the time we get together to remember the Lord and thank Him for all that He's done for us. And you look in Scripture how often thanksgiving is mentioned. Paul, his ship in Acts 27 is ready to be smashed up. And an angel of the Lord appears to him at night and says, I've given you all the souls on this ship. And then Paul says to everybody, this is what the Lord told me. Now eat some bread. You need some food. And it says he gave thanks for the food before them all. You know, the world, if you want to be a testimony to the world should see that we are thankful people. We were talking about this morning in Israel, in Numbers. Remember, we went through Numbers. One word characterized Numbers was grumbling and complaining. Grumbling and complaining. Oh, I don't have it. Oh, it was like Eeyore, you know. Oh, this is so bad. Oh, that's so bad. And grumbling and complaining. How easily we fall into that trap rather than, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for watching over me. Thank you, Lord, for safety on the roads. Thank you, Lord, for watching me. This didn't happen or that. How many things could so easily happen? How many diseases and sicknesses could so easily come on us? And God has spared us. And it's not just that we thank Him because everything's fine and dandy, and if things go bad, what about troubles that come on? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. You know, our faith lays hold of that at times when calamity comes, when heartache comes, when we lose a loved one, when we have a serious illness, when we're in pain. We will give thanks, for He is good. He is good. Paul could say in Philippians, I'm thankful I'm in jail. Because it's been for the furtherance of the gospel. I've been able to witness all these soldiers who take turns coming to hear the gospel. You know? Your outlook on life. You see things through God's eyes. And you believe what He tells us. He's good. He works all things for good. And we can give thanks for everything. For everything. Now, granted, it takes much more faith to thank the Lord for the trouble that comes our way. Seeming trouble that we call calamity. But afterwards, and you look back and you say, wow, Lord knew what He was doing. Disappointments. God's appointments. God's plans. You had your heart set on a certain thing, and it seemed like God dashed it. And at the time, it didn't seem like He was for you. But later on, you look back and you say, wow, He really was for me. He really saw far more than I saw. I might have even asked Him in prayer for that. But because he saw the greater picture, he gave me what I would have asked for if I would have seen everything he saw. The Lord is good. His mercies endure forever. And we give him thanks. He causes us to triumph. Thanks be unto God. Causes us to triumph. We sang it that we're more than conquerors. We're super conquerors. We know the end from the beginning. One of the troublous things you see in the Psalms and in Lamentations is you look out and you see the liars and the lawless seeming to be prospering. And they seem to be winning. That's sometimes hard. Lord, why is the Lord allowing that? But we know the end from the beginning. We know that we'll conquer. We know that he has purposes, whatever comes our way. So, when the Lord works in us, a spirit of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. He also, when we realize the blessings that we've been given, then he expects us to go out and be a blessing, to give. And we think in the scripture, the song we sang, make me a blessing. Do we each morning get up and say, Lord, make me a blessing to someone today? Whoever that might be creative. You don't know exactly how the Lord might do it. Might be with a stranger. Might be in your own family. Might be with a neighbor. Might be something they don't expect. But the Lord wants us to give because he wants us to be like him. Because he's a giving God. He loves to bless. He looks for ways to bless. In fact, he looks for ways to overcome our obstinacy of going our own way and still bless us. Because that's always the thing that hinders our God blessing us, is we know better than him. We decide that he would do it our way. Ishmael, oh God, I wish Ishmael will be my heir. That wasn't God's plan. That was Abraham's plan. Created a problem. God had his way. Through promise. Through grace. Through freely something without giving something without expecting something in return. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15 tells us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. He's a giving God. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. If we're to be a light, it's not a light that we're better than you, people, and you need salvation. You're the loser. No, we all were in the same boat. Cannot talk down. You know, we're the same. We have the same heart. And we needed the same salvation, the same grace. So we are, let our light shine in such a way that they think of our Father in heaven. Because that's the way he acts. In 2 Corinthians, we're told a lot about giving and about actually suffering. And there he talks about how we thank God that he comforts us in the midst of our suffering. Not just to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. When the Lord allows certain things to go through our lives, they might be very difficult. And don't anticipate them because God hasn't given you grace for something that hasn't happened. He gives grace for the moment. But if some tragedy happens in our lives, God gives us comfort at that time so that when somebody else, there's going to be somebody else in our lives and our experience that go through the same thing. And God wants us to be able to comfort them so that thanksgiving might abound, might be multiplied. One, through the comfort that we have received, we thank God. And when we share that comfort with somebody else, and we help them at that time, they give thanks to God. That's the way God works in thanksgiving and in using us to be givers, just as He gave to us. In 2 Corinthians, let's look at 2 Corinthians 9:6. It's a well-known verse. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. When he says you to sow bountifully, literally it means to sow with a blessing, or to sow on the basis of a blessing. If the Lord has given you money more than you need, why has He done that? So that you can tear down your barns and build bigger? No. No. Does He want us to amass great wealth? To say we're multi-millionaires, we're billionaires? No. If He has given us money, it's so that we can share with those who have need. So that we can sow with a blessing, with an eye to blessing somebody else. Not expecting them to give back to you. That's not the way God gives. But out of a blessing, because God has blessed us. If He's made you wise, smart, is it so you can look down on the people who are dumb? Or who you think are dumb? Remember, there's a lot of different ways of being wise, of being smart. There's an academic smartness. But they don't know a hammer from a saw. There's other people that are super smart with their hands. And some people that, no matter what the problem is, you just give it to them and they can figure it out and they can do it. But they don't have umpty degrees. And I'm not putting down education. There is a certain value to that. But if God has given us an ability in one way or another, it's not so that we can boast in it. It's not so that we can be proud of and over somebody else and put them down. So that we can help them. We can be an help. We can be a blessing. God has given us musical ability. Or whatever it is. It's not so that we can be prouder over somebody else. Saying, I'm better than they are. No. It's a blessing that God has given me. He wants me to share it. He wants me to use it. For a blessing. For somebody else's soul. And to be faithful in doing that, whatever it may be. And we'll learn a verse in Acts 20 that you won't find in the Gospels, but they well remembered it. Acts 20 and verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. You're stronger That's not so you can go beat up the weak. So that you can help the weak. You know, it's not so you be a bully over somebody who's weaker than you. You help the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's not a natural lesson to us. Our natural lessons, it's more blessed to get. You know, some of the first words we learn are me. Me. Yeah, me. We learn it from day one. But it's a spiritual new birth that the Lord tells us it's more blessed. There's more joy in giving than in receiving. You know, you look at it when your parents with your children. I was looking at our son-in-law and daughter and Bobby and Amy, I'm sure, have experienced the first few weeks. It's just like sit there and they just look at that baby all the time. Look at that. Look at those little fingers. Look, he's got my hands. He's got my nose. Oh, it's got your feet. and you just, in awe. And you enjoy them enjoying their first smile, their first taste, their first responses to you. You all say, hey, look, let's see what they did. And when they start eating, I used to, my child, I remember giving him the first taste of Coca-Cola. And he tasted it and he went, his face kind of scrunched up and went, they said, more, more. But all those little things, you enjoy them enjoying it. You don't really enjoy going on kiddie rides anymore, being adults, but you enjoy it being with them, right? Amy, she likes them anyway. But the joy, the blessing of giving rather than just receiving. The Lord teaches us that in spiritual things. And remember, the Lord talked about how you should give. In Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Used to be that way all the time in this country. The baker's dozen wasn't just in the bakery, where you'd give you that extra one if you buy a dozen. But, instead of people trying to steal and fill it up and not, don't shake it down too much because I'm giving you more than the rest is for me. God's grace. And that's what we've had in Galatians, really. The difference between law and grace. Law said, thou shalt not steal. Grace says, let him that stole steal no more. But let him work with his hands so that he has, that he might give to those who have need. That's the giving that the Lord wants. Giving in abundance. Not just half-hearted giving. Giving fully. And what motivates that? I've counted my blessings. I realize how much I've been given and forgiven. It helps you a whole lot to forgive others when you realize, the Lord has forgiven me far more than that person's ever sinned against me. And I've sinned against the Lord more than 70 times 7. And he keeps forgiving me. Because it's not about earning and merit. It's because he's a forgiving and a giving God. And the Lord says, that's how he enables us to give and forgive. What a society we'd have if we followed his word, that of giving and looking for ways of being blessings to each other rather than all this strife between groups and one better than the other, all the things that we see being stirred up among us today. Be creative in giving. God is very creative in giving. I love some of the examples in the scripture of God with God's way of giving. Ruth, just been reading about Ruth. Now she's cleaning. She's a poor Moabitess. Didn't have anything but went to the fields to glean. And now Boaz had his eye on her. But I love that phrase that he tells her, drop hands full of purpose. Hands full on purpose, you know. So she's cleaning and, oh, today's my lucky day. There's a pile of grain there. And she fills it up and, again. But when she goes back to Naomi, she has so much to scatter, like 10 days worth in a day. And Naomi says, well, where have you gleaned? Look at all that. That's the way God gives. You don't expect it. It's more abundance than we deserve. A more abundant life. You have it with David and Mephibosheth. David's just thinking of how God's blessed him. He said, I wonder if there's anybody left of the house of Saul, my enemy, who I can bless, show the kindness of God to. And now, Mephibosheth was afraid. This is not the normal way kings deal with their rivals' families. But he's just wanted to bless them. Don't be afraid. You'll sit at my table. That's the way God blesses. Naaman and Elisha. Naaman thought, I got to bring all this stuff. Because if Elisha's going to do his magic, then I got to pay him for it to earn it. He had to learn. He has to get down off his high horse, take a humble place of just a receiver, to receive God's blessing just as a gift, not as anything earned. You can't pay for it. And then he obeys, and it's a new creature. His flesh becomes like a new child. And over again in Scripture are examples of God's grace, unmerited, undeserved, unearned promise. When men can no longer do anything, when doing was done. You know, Israel should have learned that it wasn't by works, because God said, one day out of the week, no working. No, he's sending a message every week to them, not by works, no works. It's hard for us to learn that, to just be receivers. But it's when we learn to be receivers of God's grace that we learn to be givers. When we learn to count on blessings, we learn to be a blessing. So be creative this week. Think about somebody, maybe it's somebody you don't like. That's one way to change your attitude towards them. Think about how you can be creative and being a blessing to them when something they don't deserve. But because God's blessed you in that way, be a blessing. Next time you go to the grocery store, pay for their groceries. Say, hey, let me be a blessing to you today. Let me pay for your groceries. You know? Usually people won't argue if you say, let me pay for it. But if you say, let me be a blessing, then they realize, you know, it's from the Lord. And they think, thank you. You know, and you become a blessing to somebody else. Could be a perfect stranger. Could be somebody in your own house. Could be somebody in your family. Could be a neighbor. Look to God to be a blessing. Make me a blessing to somebody today. Because if they don't know his blessing, they might have a lot of money and be miserable. because the devil works all kind of discontent. But if they knew the riches of our God, the riches of His grace, can share that with them, expecting nothing in return. Make me a blessing to someone today. So we pray. Lord, how we've been so greatly blessed. Think of how great was Your riches and how great the poverty that You gave up, Lord, that we might be rich, so that we might be a blessing. Help us, Lord, and be a blessing to someone today. In Your name, amen.
Amen.